Turning your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter number 2. Nehemiah chapter number 2. We'll be looking at four verses here. Look, verses 9 through 12 of Nehemiah chapter number 2. Stand with me, please. I'll begin there at verse number 9 of Nehemiah chapter number 2. If you'll join me on the even-numbered verses, we'll read down through verse number 12. It says in verse number 9, "Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I arose in the night, I and some few men with me, neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast that I rode upon." Father, again, we come to you, and Lord, we just ask that you'd please meet with us for a little while. Lord, we ask that you'd please be with our preacher as he preaches. Pray that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit's power. Please speak to our hearts tonight. Lord, we need to hear from you. Lord, we ask that you'd please help the special to prepare our hearts, and that you'd please speak to us in a little while. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Come now, fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. Mercy never ceasing. Call for songs of loudest praise.
Call for songs of loudest praise.
Call for songs of loudest praise.
Oh, to grace, how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. I am bound for the kingdom, will you go to glory with me? Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
That's good. Let me just make sure I'm on here. I'm not. I want to speak tonight. I've been in my devotional reading through the chronological Bible in the at the end of the Old Testament. And Nehemiah in your canonical Bible is near the front of the Old Testament, but chronologically it takes place in the back toward the end of the Old Testament time period. And I've really been interested in reading about that and reading these books that pertain to that time period. And I want to speak tonight out of verse number 12 on this subject, In Search of a Heart. And I want you to see what the Bible says. Nehemiah testified, "Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem." So I want to preach tonight on this subject, In Search of a Heart. In Search of a Heart. Father, help us tonight. Speak to us, I pray, through Your Word. And Lord, reach out tonight and really get a hold of somebody and do what You've done down through the years. Maybe even tonight, put something in somebody's heart. You're in search of that kind of heart tonight. Help me as I pray, as I preach, I pray in Jesus' name. And amen. It was June of 1976, and that's almost 40 years ago. Many of you were not even born at that time period, but before then. But it was somewhere outside the outside of Jacksonville, Florida, in a church on a Sunday evening. And I remember it very well for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons I remember it well is because we were traveling, you know, with the boys home. Brother Mike would give testimony, and most often he would be asked to preach, and we would talk about the boys home. We might sing, and he might have two or three of us give a testimony. If you ever, you know, saw Lester Roloff or heard Roloff with his homes, it was very similar. And I remember we were traveling from somewhere in Georgia to Florida on Interstate, I believe it was 75, had to be 75, might have been 85, I can't remember. 95, I mean, down the coast. I can't remember. But somewhere along the route, Steve Ritchie and Tommy Chadwick got into a fight in the van. And so Mike pulled into the median of the interstate, and he said, "All you guys get out of the van." And he said, "Okay, Tommy, you and Steve." He said, "All you boys get in a circle." He said, "Tommy, you and Steve get in the middle." And so they did. He said, "Now you fight." And they just looked at him and he said, "Fight." He said, "You want to fight? Fight." He said, "If you don't start fighting, I'm going to fight you." So they started fighting. And I mean, boxing it out in the median of the interstate. So, and we're in this big round circle, and here comes, and all, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, they're duking it out, and Steve got a black eye. He got a black eye. Tommy caught him. Pow! Tommy was a short, little stocky fella. And he caught Steve, and I mean, buddy, he popped him a good one. And so, there it is, black guy. Well, here comes this guy down the median blowing a whistle. Blowing a whistle. And he's some kind of, what do you call those guys? Deputized official. That, you know, he had some kind of, I don't know, position or authority. He was going to make an arrest, I guess, for disturbing the traffic. It was bedlam. It was chaos. And so I never will forget it for that reason. Because we were driving to the church, I was thinking, how are they going to, when we get up to sing, how is Steve going to explain that big black eye there? So I remember it well for that reason. And then number two, I remember it more so because that was the night that God put something in my heart. I remember that. That church had two services on Sunday night. Oh, the Southern Baptist years and years ago used to have something called Baptist Training Union. It was like our King's Kids and Teen Meeting, but it was for the whole church. They'd have things for kids, things for teenagers, things for adults. And we got there in time for the I don't think they called it Baptist Training Union, but they had this early service, and we got there in time for that early service. And they had a combined service, and they put all the people in the auditorium, and the pastor, it was like June, as I said, and the kids were just coming back from college. And one young man who had gone off to Bible college, just finished his first year, the pastor had him preach. And I'm sitting down there in the front row with some of the other boys from the place, you know, and this old boy, tall, lanky fella, he gets up and he starts to preach. And, you know, I'm in normal church mode, and I'm sitting there and listening to this man preach. And boy, oh boy, he was preaching away and just preaching away. And while he was preaching, I sensed something going on deep down in my heart that I had never sensed before, never sensed prior to that time. Been saved then for about, 9 months, and never sensed anything like this. And it was like the Lord said, "This is what I want you to do." And it scared me to death, and I thought to myself, "I can't do that." And so I when it was ended, there was about a 15-minute break. I went back and found a little quiet room, and I got into it, and I closed the door, and I knelt down beside a chair in that room, and I said, God, I don't know if I can do that or not. I don't know what you want me to do, but if that's what you want me to do, you need to confirm it from your word, and please help me. And I gave my heart to the Lord that night, not for salvation, but for service, if God was wanting me to do something. And three nights later, on a Wednesday night in our home church, He confirmed what He had put in my heart that Sunday night. God put something in my heart. And I want to tell you, that's still there today. It's still there today. Now, I want to tell you, it's really special when God puts something in your heart. It's really special. Now, Nehemiah testified that God had put something in his heart to do for Jerusalem. And after a long journey from Shushan in former Babylon to Jerusalem, he rose in the night and he began to ride around the city. And as he did, there was something burning in his heart that God had put there. Something to do for that once great city. And you know the specifics. He wanted to rebuild the walls and the gates that had been burned and destroyed by the Babylonian army 70 years earlier. And this is what God put in his heart. This was not a personal dream. This was not some kind of self-imagined, self-centered plan to promote himself or to establish some kind of personal empire. That's not what this was. This was something that God put in his heart. He said that. He said, God put this in my heart. Now people, I believe God still puts things into the hearts of people today to do for Him and His cause. God's work is not done. Hey, there may be less people interested in God's work, but God is still interested in God's work. There may be less people, humanly speaking. Maybe more apathetic Christians than ever before. I don't know. But I will tell you somebody who's still interested in His work, and that's God. Because it's His work. And God seeks people who are available for Him. He seeks a heart that He can put something into. That's what He's looking for. In search of a heart. In search of a heart. Now I want to say make some observations about this. And I don't think this is going to be long tonight. But I'll make some observations about this. First of all, I want to say this. And I want you to give me a complete hearing. Don't just stop listening when I say something. You go, what? And then take it to mean that. Number one, the glory days of Israel were past. The glory days of Israel were past. Now, if I read the Bible correctly, and if I have an understanding of Israel's history, she reached her peak under King Solomon. Now, I understand, I know that, you know, Israel's going to reach its peak under King Jesus someday. All right, we know that. And He's going to sit and rule on the throne of David for 1,000 years. I'm talking about up until this time now. Israel had reached its peak under King Solomon. You remember the Queen of Sheba came, right? And the Queen of Sheba came and she walked around the kingdom. And Solomon showed her everything. And she was aghast. Her jaw was dropped and she couldn't believe it. And he said, do you have any questions? And she said, anything to say? She said, well, I've heard a lot about your kingdom, but the honest truth of the matter is, the half has never been told. She saw the apes and she saw the peacocks and she saw the gold and she saw the ivory and she saw the apparel of the servants and the countenance of the servants and she was just overwhelmed by all that she saw, the wealth and the influence and the might and the blessings of God. But folks, not long after that, things began to spiral down for the nation of Israel. Solomon started building those altars to false gods because he married women he never should have married. And he brought in their gods and set up the altars to their gods. And before you know it, Solomon is dead. And here comes Rehoboam. And now you got Jeroboam. And now you got the kingdom splitting into Israel and Judah and just continued to spiral down until finally Israel was taken off into captivity by the Assyrian army. Judah's taken off into captivity by the Babylonian army. And they're in captivity there for 70 years. So people would talk about the glory days. They'd talk about the glory days of the nation of Israel. In Ezra chapter 3, Zerubbabel gets to Jerusalem before Nehemiah. and they lay the foundation for the temple, because that's the first thing. They built the altar first, then the foundation. They're going to rebuild the temple. And they laid the foundation, and the Bible says in Ezra chapter 3, when they laid the foundation and unveiled it, the young people rejoiced and the old people wept. So at the same unveiling, you've got people rejoicing, this is exciting, and you've got people weeping because they remembered, the Bible says, the former days. The glory days were past. But listen, people, even though the glory days were past, God had something that He wanted to do, and He put it in the heart of Nehemiah to get it done. Put it in his heart. Now, I'll say this tonight. It's probably accurate to say that the glory days of independent Baptist churches as a whole, as a group, if you will. I'm talking about conglomerately now. I'm not talking about individually. I'm talking about conglomerately as a group. It's probably accurate to say the glory days of the independent Baptist church movement is probably past. Now, there was a day when the largest church in every state was an independent Baptist church. Largest church in the state. Now, some of you were not saved then. I understand. Some of you are not even born then. But that was a reality. State after state after state after state after state after state. You go through there and find the largest church is an independent Baptist church. Soul winning and separation and people getting saved and missionaries being sent out and schools being started. And I mean schools that were thriving. Schools that were thriving. They couldn't hardly build them fast enough because the people wanted out of the public school system so bad. We're talking about a real move. And talk about people, and not only people just saved, but discipled and mentored and then put into the ministry, and buildings were built. And I mean, it was incredible. And if you were alive then and you were a part of that then, you know what I'm talking about. But the glory days, corporately, are behind us. The largest church in any state in the Union now is not an independent Baptist church. You can't go to any state in America and look for the largest church and find out that it's an independent Baptist church. Schools aren't thriving. Schools are trying to keep their head above water, stay in existence. They tell us that more missionaries are coming off the field than are going to the field. I'm not talking about pity for us tonight, folks. I'm just talking about fact. It's where we are. It's where we are. But the truth of the matter is, just like even though the glory days of Israel were in the past, yet God had something that He wanted done, and He put it in the heart of Nehemiah. I believe that even though the days of the independent Baptist movement corporately, the glory days may be behind us, I still believe that God puts in the heart of people to do things for Him. I don't think He's done with that. I believe God is the householder in Matthew chapter 20 who goes out at the 11th hour of the day and He says, "Why stand ye here all the day idle? Go ye also into the vineyard. Go get something done and I will do you right and I'll take care of you." And I believe with all of my heart that God still puts something in the heart of people today. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about independent Baptists. I think God still puts something in the heart of people to do for His cause. I still believe that with all of my heart. With all of my heart, I believe that. Even though the glory days may be in the past. Now, I want to say number two tonight. Now, number one, the glory days were in the past. I want to say number two, that even though the glory days were in the past, there were effective days ahead. Effective days ahead. You see, when God put something in the heart of Nehemiah, the glory days of Israel were behind, but there were still very effective and helpful and blessed days ahead. Folks, they rebuilt the temple here, okay? Ezra and Nehemiah, all these guys, Nehemiah the walls, but Ezra, they rebuilt the temple. That took about, that actually took about 70 years. From about 515 BC to 445 BC, that temple and those walls were rebuilt. And do you know, friend, that that temple and those walls stood from 445 BC to 70 AD? That's over 500 years. In 70 AD, the Roman army under Titus came in and destroyed the temple and the city of Jerusalem again. But listen, for several hundred years, the temple functioned. Sacrifices were made, songs were sung, scriptures were read, offerings were brought for 500 years. Okay, it may not have been as magnificent as Solomon's temple, but it was still God's temple. It was still effective. It was still useful. It was still very much needed, and God blessed it and used it for a long time. A long time. 500 years. Now listen, God still has a work to do today, and He is looking for people into whose hearts He can put something. And folks, it matters not how big or little the work becomes, how popular or well-known. There will always be people to help. There will always be people to influence. And God is looking for a heart today to put something into. Looking for a heart. Now, this is speculation. This is not Bible. Everything so far I've given you about the temple, the old temple, the glory days and all that, that's all. You can get that from reading the Bible. But what I'm about to tell you is speculation. I would imagine that the people living in Jerusalem in Nehemiah's day, after the temple had been rebuilt and the walls had been rebuilt, I bet you they were real happy to have a wall around their city. I bet they were real happy to have a temple to worship in. I bet they were excited to have a place to bring their sacrifices. I bet they were grateful. I bet they felt secured. And they probably weren't negative or discouraged, and they sure weren't comparing it to the former days. They were happy to have a place to serve God. I'll say, folks, people who get saved and helped and influenced today are very thankful and happy and blessed, and they aren't moping because these days aren't like the glory days. They don't even know what the glory days were like. And some of us, and maybe I've been guilty of this, and maybe some of my brethren have as well, we're so moaning the passing of the glory days that we're missing out on the opportunities of the now day. God still puts things in people's hearts. He did Nehemiah. He does today. I'm excited about these churches in Illinois. I'm excited about Brother Marty's church. You weren't here Wednesday night. God gave him a building. Now, He didn't give it to him free, but folks, that's a miracle. I wish you could know. That's a miracle. That thing was shut down. They were not going to find it. Marty's Capital Baptist Church is not even chartered. It's not incorporated. It's not in existence yet. They can't get a loan. That lady said, no way I'll finance the building for you. Absolutely not. And that was just 4 weeks ago. Am I right, Jared? Four weeks ago? It was closed. And then he gets the phone call. He calls me on vacation. I think I was driving back from vacation. Yeah, I hate to bother you, but I just got a call from this lady, the realtor representing this lady. She's open to financing, and they got the pricing, and they got the interest rate, and they're going to open in a church building September 20th. It's incredible. I'm not going to spend my time moping about the glory days being gone when that's happening down in Springfield. I've met people from Brother Houston's church in Crystal Lake. I've met people from Brother McMurtry's church over in Rock Falls. I have met people from Brother Jason's church down in Quincy. People who have been reached. People who are saved. People who are excited about God. They don't even know there were former days. They don't even know there was a first temple. They're excited about the one they got. Maybe we should be as excited for them as they are for their temple. And I'm just simply saying it's still going on. I told Ben the other day, and it's nice to have him here, and the great with child lady Leah as well, amen. But anyway, she's waddling around the house, waddling around. I go downstairs, here's a bowl of cereal, had two bites out of it. Who did this? I was hungry. And then I ate two bites and I'm full. Oh, yeah, I forgot about those days, pregnant ladies. Okay. But anyway, I was over in Madagascar earlier this year, and the reasons we were there were not, of course, enjoyable, all the fallout from that. But I will tell you, I had the time of my life in that church on those two Sundays. and preaching to those men on Saturday and then going with the men to the outreach in the village. And those guys are excited and they're pumped and man, they're enjoying it and they love their church there and they love the fellowship that they have with each other. Hey, they're not moping in Madagascar because these aren't the former days. These are good days. These are exciting days. Folks, listen. Through internet, radio, printing, advancements, there are exciting things happening that are influencing people all over the world for Christ. All over the world. It's exciting to see what God is preparing in Springfield. It's exciting to see God help Dave Ferris, who sent out a letter saying, we need 3 more churches to take us on for support, and we're going to the Philippines, and we've booked our tickets for November. I think it's November 28th. They fly back to the Philippines. He said, we need to raise, I think it was $5,000 for passage and tickets and things. And he called Brother John, Jessica's dad, he called Brother John down in Clinton, Brother Robertson. And Brother Robertson said, Dave, why don't you make a 3-minute video and put that on Facebook? Because Dave has a Facebook thing. He said, put it on Facebook. And man, tell him what you're going to do. Keep it short, 3 minutes. And so he did that. He made a little clip and put it on Facebook. And in 10 days, he raised all the money he needed to go to the Philippines. I guess God's dead, isn't he? God's not at work, is he? Oh, he raised the money in 10 days. It's exciting to hear about a man going to Boston. Like I got a letter this week from Brother Darrell Cox, and the man that he was endorsing is going to Boston to start a New Testament church. It's exciting to listen to WGVD on the internet. I did this morning again, listening to the good music and some of the programs that are on there. It is exciting to know that Cedar River Baptist Camp is planning to build a large multi-purpose gym and facility there on the camp property because the camp attendance is starting to creep up again after those years of being outside of a Baptist church. It's exciting to meet a missionary like we did just a few weeks ago, going to the Solomon Islands. I'm saying, folks, it's just great to know that God is still putting things in the heart of people. He's still doing that. He's still doing it. Yeah, but they've been 70 years in captivity. And everything's torn down, and the gates are burned, and the walls are down. And it's horrible. Remember the former days, how great it was? And all the time they were moaning about the former days, God was just looking for a heart. That's all they wanted. Just a heart. I need a heart that I can put something into. And I'm just simply saying, yes, the glory days may be in the past, but these are effective days. Effective days are in front of us. Influential days are in front of us. Great days are in front of us. I want to say number 3 tonight. This will be my question, I guess, instead of a statement. Can God put something in your heart? Can God do that? You know, Nehemiah, now listen very carefully. Nehemiah was just going about his routine. You know what he was doing? He was the cupbearer. He's in the process of waiting on King Artaxerxes, making sure his food and drink were taken care of and prepared, and nothing was wrong, no poison, nobody trying to kill the king. He was in the routine of his day. And you can read it, chapter 1 and 2. He was in the routine of his day when God put something in his heart. Now, even though he was in his routine, he was not consumed by his routine. He had a job. He had his life. He had his income. He had his plans. He had his routine. But when he heard the report about his homeland, he wasn't so consumed with what he was planning and what he was doing that God couldn't put something in his heart. God's looking for a heart. Is there room in your heart for God to put something in there? Is there space for Him to place a burden or a desire or a vision? Is there? You know, I'm sure that there were many uncertainties when God put this burden in Nehemiah's heart. I'm sure Nehemiah had many questions. How? When? Where? But you begin to read there that when God put something in his heart, God worked out all the details for him. Look at verse number 4 of chapter 2 here, because this is what God began to do. That God put something in his heart before this. And chapter 2, verse 4, "Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request?" So the king says to Nehemiah, "What do you need? What would you like?" And in verse 6, verse 5, he tells him what he wants to do. And in verse 6, the king says, "Well, how long will your journey be? And when wilt thou return?" And so it pleased the king to send him. And he set him a time. He's in the middle of a work contract. And he says, "Yeah, that's fine. You can go." And then look at verse 7. "Moreover, I said unto the king, If it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's farm." Nehemiah said, "Man, I'm on a roll. I might as well ask for the whole ball yard, the whole thing. And that he may give me the timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into." "And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me." Can God put something in your heart? He doesn't have to spell out. He doesn't have to spell out how it's all going to happen. He doesn't have to spell out how it's all going to take place. He doesn't have to spell out every little detail. God puts something in your heart. You start acting on it. God's going to take care of everything. God did all of this. And when he got there, he raised up men. When Nehemiah got there, he raised up men who could catch the vision and help him when he got to Jerusalem. The glory days are past. Effective days are still ahead. It seems that what God needs is just a heart into which He could put something. What if that's your heart, young man? What if that's your heart? What if God could put something? I believe God already has put some things in the hearts of some young men in this church here. And I think it's wonderful. And I'm excited about it. But I wonder if God could put something in your heart. I remember that day very well. I can't remember the exact date of the day. And I can't remember the name of the church. I wish I could get that. I don't suppose Brother Mike would remember it. He might. But I know this. On that night, sitting on that front pew, God put something in my heart. And it's still there. And God's still in that business today. Putting something in a heart. In search of a heart. Might it be yours? Might it be yours? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank You that Your work is not done. It's not over or concluded. Thank You that You're still looking and searching for hearts to put something into. And Father, I pray that every young man especially, every young lady especially, would so be in a relationship with You that if You wanted to put something in their heart, You could. Father, I pray that You'll bless the future days. Thank You for the memories of wonderful days when churches were large and ministries were glowing and growing, and it was just common, Lord, to see the buildings overflowing. And thank You for those memories. But Lord, thank You for today. Thank You for the second temples. Thank You for the second set of walls. Thank You for what You're doing in places like Crystal Lake and Quincy and Rock Falls and Eureka and other places. Thank You for what You're doing or going to do in Springfield and already working for Brother Marty and Boston and Solomon Islands and Madagascar and here and there. Thank You for what You're doing. And God, would You please put something in the heart of a young man or a young lady here at Faith Baptist to do for You. I pray, God, as You search for a heart, You'll find a place right here amongst the people who sit in the pews of this auditorium. God, put it in our hearts, please. Do something special to somebody. May your work go forward, I pray, in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. This is a very target-specific message tonight. But I just want to say to you young men and you young ladies especially, not just elementary school, I'm talking about college age and down, and even adults, you know, going through the routine of your day, I hope your heart is in such a condition with God that if He wants to put something in it, He can. Oh, the glory days may be past, but great days are ahead. God's in search of a heart. Might it be yours? Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Of course, always the altar's open for salvation or baptism. But tonight, if the Lord spoke to you, as the ladies play, our hearts are open to God. Would you come tonight? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Might it be your heart? Might it be yours?